Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Attention all Trekkies, today on Animal House Radio, we are joined by the phenomenal actor William Shatner, better known as James Tiberius Kirk. That's right, Captain Kirk is on the bridge today. Listen in as Carlo and Gisella talk to him about his current Wrath of Khan Q&A that he's touring the country with, how he got started as an actor, and the many charities that he's involved with. Listen in as we boldly go where no man has gone before, and it all happens right here, right now on Animal House Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, here it is, the most listened to radio show on the planet. Even the other stations are tuned in too.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We have ignition. Strap in.
You're about to listen to
The Animal House.
You're nothing but an animal.
Your mother's an animal.
Show your food, you're an animal.
Keep the change, you filthy animal.
They're animals anyway, so let them move their souls.
I am not an animal.
You are an animal.
We are all animals, my lady.
I'm not an animal.
What do you care? You're an animal. You're an animal.
Yeah.
I'm an animal.
Yeah.
All aboard!
Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
I feel the need. The speed.
The opinions expressed by the hosts, callers, and guests are not those of Animal House Radio. Some of the material broadcast on Animal House Radio may not be suitable for listeners under the age of 18. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, this is Kelsey Grammer.
Hi, this is Katie Segal.
Hi, this is Joe Elliott.
Hey, it's Rick Springfield.
Hey, this is Tommy Chung.
Hi, this is Carol Burdett.
All right, everybody, listen up. This is Dee Snider from Twisted Sisters, Frangeland, Celebrity Apprentice. Yeah, you know me. And you're listening to Animal House Radio.
Hey, this is Larry the Cable Guy, and you're listening to the Animal House Radio Show. And if you're not listening to it, then leave the country. You're a communist. This is a good show right here. Get it up.
Hello. Hello, Mr. Shatner. How are you? Good morning.
Good morning. How are you? I'm fine. What about yourself?
I'm doing great because I'm getting to speak to a living legend. As you,
so. Oh, my God. Barely living legend.
Is it okay, Mr. Shatner, if I call you Bill?
Please. Can I call you Carlo?
Absolutely.
I would just be delighted. Don't wait for dinner.
Yeah, exactly. I want to thank you for taking the time to do this. It means a lot.
It's amazing how you could change your voice. To
isn't it so sexy?
No. Yeah, this is my co-host.
Is that you, Carl?
This is my co-host, Gisella.
It's Gisella.
Your alternate ego here.
Exactly.
What's your name?
Gisella Bella.
Gisella Bella.
That's right.
And Carla Bellario.
Yes.
See that?
God, the music in your names.
I know.
Awesome.
And Gisella D'Amico.
That's right.
That's right. Yes. Straight from Italy. I mean, you know, I was born in New Jersey.
Homework.
But she's from...
You were born where, Carla?
I was born in Newark, New Jersey, but she's right from the boot.
My family's from Sicily. I was the first one born in this country.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
And you're all from Sicily.
Exactly.
Yes. I really can't thank you enough for taking time out of your schedule.
It's a pleasure.
And I want to say that all the troops overseas on Armed Forces Radio, I don't have to tell you, you're an icon. You're beloved. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You know, I run a charity, as I have for the last 30-some years, called the Hollywood Charity Horse Show. And the last many years, the charity was designed to help children. There's a horse show for 5 days, but on the Saturday of the horse show, we have a big party and we raise money and we're benefiting kids with horse therapy and kids who were handicapped in some way, physically, emotionally, socially, and we're doing very well. And then we began to incorporate veterans into it who, when they came back from overseas and they had their troubles, they benefited, too, from a lot of this kind of therapy.
It's therapeutic.
Hippotherapy, it's called, whereby they just get on a horse. And the identification with the horse and the size of the horse, the motion of the horse, the movement, their identification with the horse.
Oh, wow.
The benefits were found to be extraordinary. And so that's a huge part of the Hollywood Charity Horse Show. And so if anybody's interested, go to horseshow.org and take a look at what we're doing in helping servicemen coming back from overseas. I just made contact with a Navy diver who's going to speak at the on June 2nd, which is the Saturday of this year's horse show. And so he'll be talking about what hippotherapy did for him, and then we'll raise funds at the party, and we raise funds from various donors. It's called the Priceline.com, Hollywood Charity Horse Show, sponsored by Wells Fargo. So they're sponsors as well, and they give us money, and all that money goes to either the kids or the vets.
You know what? When it comes to kids and vets, I count me in. I'll do whatever I can, and I think that's amazing.
And I'm glad he brought that up, because I was going to ask you about the Spirit of the Horse that you wrote.
But, yes.
It's wonderful that you asked.
Thank you. Yeah, I've got, yes, I enjoyed writing that book very much. I got another book coming out, Live Long and .. Lives, coming out in a few months as well. Worthwhile reading, I think.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
But this horse show, if you mention it and tell the guys to take a look, every penny goes, as I say, to kids or the veterans, so if they want to donate any money.
I encourage everybody to go and check this out. If you're in that area in Hollywood, California.
Well, that or horseshow.org, you can send us a dollar.
Absolutely.
Somebody who can use it.
Bill, since I know we don't have much time with you, so I'm trying to get everything I possibly can in.
Sure.
Everybody knows about the Star Trek thing, and I want to ask a couple of questions, but you're so much more than Star Trek. You started out as an actor doing theater, and you became a Shakespearean actor, but what drew you to acting in the first place? Like, when did you know that, hey, this is what I want to do?
Well, my little legend goes back to going to a summer camp. I come from Montreal, so we were in northern sort of the North Woods there, and there was a camp play, and I was in the camp play, and one of those, you know, I go for 2 weeks. The city kid goes up to the country for 2 weeks, and
so I'm
6 years old, and I'm in a camp play, and in the second week we put on the camp play for the parents who have come to take the kids back to the city, and because of the material and all, made the audience weep, and they gave me applause, and my father picked me up and says, my boy. So I got love from my dad and applause from the audience, and that was the moment.
That's you caught the bug.
I was 6 years old.
Yeah. You're coming to our area on May 19th, and I'm looking forward to that because we're going to bring some vets out to the show to say hello.
Oh, that'll be wonderful. Yes, I know that. At the New Jersey Performing Arts Center on May 19th, exactly.
Now, are you the reason why you're screening The Wrath of Khan because it's the anniversary, or is it just happened to be your favorite of the movie franchise?
Well, it seems to be a public favorite. The Wrath of Khan seems to be, for various reasons, one of the popular Star Trek movies, and so it seemed like a good idea to play that movie, and then me to come out and discourse on it and talk about it and questions that the audience might have about anything, really.
Oh, that's
amazing. But what's happened, because I've only started to do this, what's happened is it turns out to be a fun fest. Everybody has a great time. The movie itself is entertaining. And then I come out and we try to continue the entertainment for another hour.
Oh, that's amazing. Gisella?
Gisella. Oh, my God. I'll tell you why, Gisella. In Montreal, my first girlfriend was Giselle.
Oh, wow.
Which is, I guess, the German
Giselle,
version of Gisella. So I'm in love with the name.
Well, thank
you. Can I say it again? Can
absolutely.
Gisella. What's your question, Gisella? What is your question?
How did you get cast as Captain Kirk?
Well, I was in New York City doing something or other, and they had made a pilot called Star Trek with another actor, and the network didn't want to buy it, but they thought the idea was good enough. They said, recast it. So Gene Roddenberry, who was the producer, sort of the creator of the Star Trek, called me and asked me if I would take a look at this pilot with the idea of becoming the captain. So I flew to L.A. and looked at the pilot and thought I saw a lot of promise in it, and made some suggestions, and then we made another pilot, and it sold, and there I was.
Now, the initial Star Trek run was on NBC, and it only lasted 3 seasons.
Right.
How do you explain that? It got moderate ratings, but how do you explain that the explosion afterwards?
You know, all that is true, and so it was moderately successful for 3 years, then went off the air. And then it was dead for 5, 6, 7 years. And then it went into syndication. And I think it being in syndication, and because there was value to the show, it was like Priceline, which busted out on the dot-com bubble in 2008 or 9. But of a handful of dot-com companies that survived all that, the reason Priceline survived was it had a value. It really was a good thing. It really is useful. So it survived and became this dominant company. And the same thing, I think, happened with Star Trek. It was a really a good show, but it was hidden in its time slot, and people didn't find it. And although it caused a passionate group of people to keep it on the air, people didn't discover it until it became commonly in view. And then they said, oh, my God, this is really good. And that then it took off.
You see so many conventions around the world, and so many people are, I don't want to call it an obsession, but they're fascinated by it. And, I mean, there's no other convention that comes close to the Trekkies.
That's right.
I mean, they know everything. They speak Klingon. And I think it's
don't you speak Klingon?
I try, but I'm not that good. I'm a closet Trekkie. I'm still in training, but I'm still a big fan. I love your work that you did on Tech War and T.J. Hooker. Amazing stuff. But by the way, I'm a fellow Kempo practitioner, so I read that up about.
Really?
Yeah, yes. I studied under the Ed Parker system, which I think is amazing.
Yes.
As far as your career is concerned, Bill, is there anything that you haven't done that you still want to do? Is there unfinished?
Well, I always wanted to be on the Armed Forces Radio Network.
Well, mission accomplished. We could take that off the bucket list.
Go ahead. I'm going to ask you, Gisella.
what do you want to know, Gisella?
What do you think the main attraction was that attracted literally a worldwide audience to Star Trek?
Well, it's probably, you know, as a joke, I used to say me. But,
definitely.
But I've spent many hours discussing and writing about science fiction and the mystery and the awesomeness. I mean, whether we do it on a daily basis or every so often, you look out into the night sky and you say, what the heck is that?
Right.
And I have done many interviews with astrophysicists who are asking the same question. I even interviewed Stephen Hawking, and everybody's speculating about what's out there, and nobody knows because we can't see it or feel it. But also, we speculate that about 95 or 98% of what we can't see is called dark matter, so we don't even know what that is. Probably obscuring our view of the universe. So it is totally unknown. We
right.
know nothing about it. We just look out in the night sky and speculate. And that's what science fiction is. And that's the magic and the attraction of science fiction. It's as valid as anybody's opinion. Because we don't know. So if you have a talented science fiction writer writing a science fiction novel or making a science fiction movie, it's as valid as anybody. Okay, that's it. That's what's out there. And it becomes
the main attraction.
becomes awesome.
Yeah, the lure for me was the escapism and the fantasy aspect.
Yeah, but it's escapism, but it's also appealing to this tantalizing mystery that's out there.
Right.
What the heck is out there?
Right. But before we let you go, in your opinion, your favorite episode that you did on Star Trek? I know you must have several, but there's got to be one.
The truth of the matter is there are several. But, The Wrath of Khan was an episode, too, so why not say that?
And make sure everybody that's listening, our brothers and sisters over in the military overseas, and everybody here in the country, horseshow.org. And if you're in the area, definitely check it out. And make sure for everybody here in New Jersey, May 19th, 7:30, the NJ PAC, there's going to be a special screening of Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, which I can watch over and over again, and then there's going to be a Q&A afterwards. I recommend everybody come out to see it. Bill, I can't tell you what an honor it's been. I wish we had more time.
Thank you, Bill. It was a pleasure to have talked to you. And Gisella.
Thank you.
And anytime you need us, please, you have an open door. Anytime you want to come on and promote anything, you're
thank you, Carlo.
Your family.
Thank you very much.
God bless.
A pleasure to have talked to you.
Thank you so much. William Shatner, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.